In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 13. Mark is presenting us with Jesus. The beginning of the good news about Jesus. It's just about the best beginning you could have for by a presentation of Jesus. And he tells us so much about Jesus right away. He says Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. He's the Son of God, there, verse 1. And then in verse 3, he's actually the Lord. These with that quotation from the Old Testament, from Malachi there. Well, it's partly Isaiah, partly Malachi. There it is. Amazing. Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lord. Well, what's that going to mean? Well, we'll see. Mark's going to tell us this is who he is. And I'm going to tell you what he's come to do. Why did the Lord arrive? Why did he come? What does it mean? What relevance does it have to us, wherever we are in the world, at whatever time in history? What is all this about? And we'll see right away that the issue in these verses is wilderness. Can you see how it comes up? It's there in verse 3, a voice of one calling in the wilderness. So it begins with a voice. Can you imagine a wilderness scene, all barren, all dry, few scraps of dry little plants growing, no water, no food. And you might even imagine one of those scenes where you've got some old bones all dried out in a wilderness. Rocks, mountains, hard to move about, all that kind of thing. And there's a voice just crying out. In that a desolate scene. That's how Mark begins, with a scene of a voice crying out in a desolate, barren, dry wilderness. And then they see it in verse 4. That was a prophecy made many hundreds of years before, that there would be this voice crying out in the wilderness. Get ready, because the Lord God's about to arrive. And then there it is, verse 4, there's John the Baptist. He appeared in the wilderness. Here is the voice that was prophesied to be shouting in this dry and barren place. There's the wilderness again. And then we'll see how he dresses in a wilderness way. And then if you look down at verse 12, Jesus is driven out into the wilderness and he is with wild animals, the wild animals of the wilderness. Can you see it? It's all about wilderness. And why is that important? Because this opening of the good news about Jesus is Jesus coming to deal with the wilderness. And the problem is, we don't think we're in a wilderness all too often. Sometimes in life we know we're in a wilderness. We know it. And maybe at the moment we can kind of feel the wilderness of this present darkness. And it's not just what's on the outside. In fact, on the outside, we might trick ourselves into thinking we're in Eden. We try to build heaven on earth. We try to make ourselves feel as if we're in Eden. But the truth is, we're in a wilderness. And the real place of the wilderness is inside us. The darkness is the root of it all, as Jesus says. Out of the human heart comes all this horrors of lying, stealing, greed, lust, violence. All the evil that bursts out of the human heart. There's a wilderness. It's around us. And as that prayer was with Gregory, he says, look, everything in the world dies. It crumbles away. The food, we're just in this rat race cycle of eating, drinking, getting ill, getting better, then we die. It's a rat race thing and it ends in dust. Dust, as it was, we read way back in Genesis 3. We all end up in dry dust. No life, no fruit at all. That's the truth of it. And so, there's John. This voice was calling out in the wilderness. And it's this symbolism thing, isn't it? It's not just that this is somewhere out, somewhere far away from civilization. the wilderness of this world as a whole. And John came to tell everybody, we are all in the wilderness. We're all in the wilderness. We're all dry and barren and dead and lifeless and rotting. We're all exiled from Eden. We're not in heaven. We can't build heaven on earth. In fact, there's a rottenness inside us, a deadness inside us. We're all in a wilderness. That's what he was preaching. We all know it. We all know it deep down, certainly in those dark times in the middle of the night, and the wilderness takes us over. The barrenness, the dryness, the deadness, the darkness. We know it at times. And yet when we shake it off, we're like, nah, I'm going to build heaven on earth. I can fix it. I can make surround myself with things that make me feel as if I'm in Eden. But it's a lie. It's a deception. And remember, we read from Genesis chapter 3, that Adam and Eve were in Eden. They turned away from Jesus. He cursed them with thorns and thistles. It's like this land, he said, this world that has been heaven on earth is not going to be. It's going to be thorns and thistles, and the ground's going to fight you because it doesn't want to give you life. You're going to have to fight to get some life and cling on to it, and then you're going to end up as dust. That's your life. And then they are driven out east of Eden. They're driven out into the wilderness. They're driven across like the river to the other side, to the wilderness of this life. And then as you read on through Genesis, you see the wilderness. And how it brings out the wilderness is not so much in what's happening with the plants, but what's happening with the people? The rottenness straight away. Murder, hatred, envy, immorality, idolatry, evil, pride, evil. That's the wilderness. We're driven out into the wilderness of our own making. That's what the Bible says. John the Baptist came to preach that, to say to people, stop deluding yourselves. You are in the wilderness. You're dry, you're dusty, you're dirty. You're dying, you're decaying. Stop deluding yourselves. The Lord God is coming. Now's the time to face up to reality, he says. And look at his words in verse 4. He wanted to make people realize we're all in the wilderness. He said, look at his words. We need to be washed. A baptism, a washing. We need to be washed. It's a washing of repentance, which means change your mind, change your heart, change the way you live. So it's washing because you're going the wrong way. You're thinking the wrong way. You're living the wrong way. Stop deluding yourselves, he's saying. Everything has got to change. The way you think, the way you feel, the way you act. Everything, he says. Because you need to be forgiven for sins. So you might say, but sins, that's only one problem in the world. There's health problems, there's injustice, there's economic problems, there's corrupt government. Yeah, all those things are true, but you can't solve those without the root problem is sin and evil and wickedness in the human heart. All change is superficial unless there is this radical transformation of heart, of becoming fixed with the living God, right with the living God. The forgiveness of sins, says John. That's when real change could happen. See what he's doing? He's saying, you're in the wilderness. You're in the wilderness. Everybody needed this. And notice, people came from cities and the countryside and even other countries. All these people around from come to him at the whole countryside, city or not, So it's not about, that's the important point. You see, a person might be in Jerusalem, living a tremendously luxurious life. Plenty of money, plenty of luxuries. John's like, you're in the wilderness. You're dry, you're barren. You've got nothing. You think you're rich. You think you're economically secure. You think you've got power. You've got nothing. It's an illusion, it's a deception. You're in the wilderness. Face up to it. Be honest about it. Turn around. Get washed. Get your sins forgiven by returning to the living God. Can you see what he's saying? It's a powerful thing. Everybody needed it. And John, in order to emphasize it, there from verse 6, he dressed like the wilderness. He lived outside the mainstream of society in order to say the whole of society, it's all wilderness, it's all wrong. And he stands outside it and dresses like the wilderness, doesn't he? He enacts it. He embodies his message. He's wearing camel's hair. He looks like a camel. What's a camel's a total wilderness creature, isn't it? And it can survive out in the desert for ages because it's a wilderness creature. Do you see? Leather belt, locusts, wild honey, it says. He eats wild honey. Again, that wild word, the wilderness, the wilderness, the wild. He's embracing the wilderness and he's saying, look, I represent this wilderness and I'm talking to you out of the wilderness and I'm telling you, you're in it. We're all in it. We're all in it. Let's get out of it. He says, and of course his message there, if we read on in verse 7 and 8, he says, look, I'm just preparing you. I can't really change you. I can be like a politician and give talks and manifestos and things. But, well, I won't be too hard there. I won't go in that direction. But, you know, what power do they have? But he's like saying, look, I can prepare you. I can warn you. I can wake you. I can shake you. But what we need is the Lord God himself to arrive. We need him to change us. We need him. All I can do is talk about what's needed. I can't give it. Only he can give it. I can wash you with water. He can wash you with the very life of God. He can wash you with God. I can do stuff that looks like change. He can make change. I can point out why people are dead. He can point out why people can come to life. He can make people alive. That's what John's saying. He can wake, warn, point out the problem, diagnose the sickness. He can't cure it. But he says, someone's coming who can. Jesus is here. Amazing stuff. That's John. Now he's doing it at the Jordan River, if you see. It's there in verse 5. And then the whole scene from verse 9. What's that about? Well, it's got a lot of ancient history and meaning. And think about that old story of Moses from 1,500 BC. 3,500 years ago from our point of view. There's Moses. The ancient people, they lived in the wilderness for 40 years. There was no water, no food. It had to be just miraculously provided all the time. A place of dryness, barrenness, hardship, serpents, difficulties. And then they came to this river Jordan. And on the other side, in this symbolism of it all, there is a promised land flowing with milk and honey and good things, and it symbolizes the way the Lord says, ahead of you, I want to deliver you back to Eden. I want to bring you back to life as it's supposed to be, to a world that's new created and not cursed, but full of life, full of goodness, where you never have to worry about disease or death or anything. That lies ahead of you. Now's the wilderness. So in the symbolism of it all, he brought them to the edge of this river. The wilderness is behind them for 40 years. Here's the river. Ahead of them is a new creation future of heavenly reality, living with the Lord in his way. And so crossing that river Jordan meant let's leave the wilderness behind and let's go with the Lord into his great future. Can you see the symbolism of it? So they cross that river. Jonathan's favourite bit of the Bible is that Joshua incident when they did it. I'm not going to talk about it now. Ask him about it. Every bit of the Bible ends up going back to this incident of crossing the Jordan River. Yep. but it is an amazing incident. And it's like, let's leave the wilderness behind. Egypt, longing for Egypt, deceitful desires, corrupt hearts that long for nothing. Let's leave all that behind and have a new beginning. Let's, as if we die and rise again on the other side of the river into a new kind of life with the Lord. That's what the Jordan River's all about. So John the Baptist says, right, let's get to the Jordan River. Everyone, we're in the wilderness, right? Doesn't matter where we live, we're symbolically, we're in the wilderness. Let's all gather on the wilderness side of the Jordan River and we're going to go through the river. And it's as if we're going to die to that wilderness path and rise to a new life of forgiveness of sins, new beginning with Jesus. And then the Lord's coming. He can make this happen. I can't. I can chuck some water on you. But I can't actually change you. I can't actually make you right with God. But he can. He can give you the life of God. Can you see, that's what John the Baptist is doing. So he lived in the wilderness. He dressed for the wilderness. He ate for the wilderness. He called everybody out to the wilderness. He made them face up to the wilderness. And this sense of, because we are wild. Now we say, oh, I like being wild. Yeah, no, well, that's a fun sense. When you say you like being wild, you think, I like being a bit quirky. I like being a bit creative. I like to sometimes do something different. I don't always go to bed at 10. I sometimes go to bed at 11. That's what we mean by wild. We use the word in a totally silly way. What it means in the Bible is devilish, chaotic, disordered, foolish. It's all that. It's not something to be trifled with. It's one thing to say we want to be creative and spontaneous. Yeah, that's a good thing. But to be wild in this sense is evil. It means you're out of your mind. You're a fool. You're chaos. You're darkness. Not safe. Not healthy. Not clean. Not good. And so he says, you're cursed and crooked. That's why that word straight in verse 3 is important. Everything that's crooked, the Lord can straighten that out. Let's get ready for him. We are cursed and crooked, dying and decaying, dirty and dusty, barren and dry. But then Jesus comes, he says, and here's Jesus, the Messiah. What does that mean? Not dry, not dying, not dusty. The Messiah, that means he's full of life and fruitfulness, not crooked and cursed. He's straight and right and full of life. And he's the Son of God. That other title for him. What does that mean? Well, he's not been driven out from the presence of God. He's not exiled in the wilderness. He's not someone who's not safe to be around. He's very safe to be around. And the Lord God loves him and welcomes him. He's part of the eternal divine family. He's not exiled. He's the Son of God. So he's not dry. He's not exiled. And he's the Lord himself. Who's come to set things right? Well, what would he do? Well, he could have stood on the Eden side of the Jordan River, looked at everyone standing over on the other bank, the wilderness side, and said, look at you! You're disgusting! Well, he'd be right. He'd be right. He isn't. He'd be, I don't want anything to do with you. I'm going to stay on this side, and then you get away. You're not safe. You're defiling, you're dirty, you're diseased in your bodies and your minds and your hearts. I'm not. Could have done that, but he didn't. What happens in the story? You can see it. He gets in. All these people with the wilderness seeping into them and out of them. It's like the rottenness, the dryness. The disease, the dirtiness of the wilderness is on us as a human race from the moment we're conceived, we're like it. Selfish, greedy and godless. And then they're in that water trying to use, as if the water is washing it off them. And then this Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, gets into the water with them, and he's putting his arms around them, and he's saying, I'll repent with you. And if you remember in the other story, John's like, "You, what are you doing? You can't repent." And he's like, I'm gonna. I'm being with these people. I want to be with them. If they're in the wilderness, I'm going to be with them in the wilderness. I'm going to be with them. I'm going to repent of sins with them. I'm going to be washed with them. I want their sins to be washed off them onto me. Let their dirtiness, their disease leave them and come onto me. Let me worry about how to fix this mess. They can't fix it. They can't change their own lives. They can't get forgiveness of sin. Let me worry about that, says the Lord God. Let me worry about it. Let me get with them. Let me show them how to repent. I'll get in the water with them. And what's so wonderful, he did do that. Got in with all the messed and broken up people. And then amazingly, in verse 10 and 11 there, the Lord God approved of it. He says, brilliant. Here's more life. Let me show the Spirit filling you and overflowing from you. This, the fact that the Lord God shares the dirty waters of repentance with the wilderness people. The Father loves it. And the Spirit loves it. And they openly acknowledge him to be the Son. They openly acknowledge him to be the Son. And I always imagine, people know, I always imagine that there would have been somebody on the bank who couldn't have got in because they just felt too dirty, too broken. And they'd say, there's no hope for me. I'll never be able to find a way to Eden. I'll never be able to get right with God. Never. And then the arm would have come around them. And it is the Lord God. And he would have said, come on, come with me. Let's repent together. Let me kneel with you. Let's get washed together. That's what the Lord God's like. Because you'd be thinking, when you've sinned and you feel rotten and your wickedness is in you, I can't pray. You won't hear me now. I've sinned so badly. Then more than ever, do it. Call to him. The arm will be round you. Call on him. He'll always answer. But here's the shock. There he is. The Lord, the Father approves. The Spirit fills him. He's embracing the wilderness people in the washing. Then do you see what happened? Now this is a shock. Look at verse 12 of Mark 1 if you've got it open. It says, at once the Spirit, now here it says, sent him out into the wilderness. That's not strong enough. It says, drove him out. The Spirit drove him out into the wilderness. And you're immediately thinking, hang on. That's what it said in Genesis 3:24. The man was driven out from Eden, from the presence of God. Driven out into the wilderness. That's what happened when everything went wrong. When everything went wrong at the beginning of the world, the man was driven out into the wilderness. And the angels were put there to say, no welcome for you. Get out. You're not safe. You're exiled. We, the angels, will make sure there's no, you can't come back. Driven out. Amazing. And he is the Lord God. The Lord God's driven out into the wilderness. What? Have I read that right? Let me just check it again. No, it says it. Look at it. Mark 1 verse 12. At once the Spirit sent him, drove him out into the wilderness. Drove him out into the wilderness. To the thorns and thistles. To the cursed world. Of separation and death and dying and disease and darkness and demons. To the company of demons. Why? Why should the blessed Son of God, full of life, be driven out into the wilderness? Why should he be driven out there? Well, that's what he'd come to do. This is why Mark says, listen, let me tell you the good news about Jesus. Because he's saying, listen, you think the wilderness of this world, I have to, that's just my life. That's life. That's life. I've got to suck it up and accept it. Jesus says, no. I will be driven out into the wilderness, so you don't have to be. That's the message. He's like saying in the Jordan, right, you lot, you go that way, I'll go this way. You deserve that, sure, whatever. That's for me to worry about the wilderness, not you. Don't you worry about the wilderness. Let me go into the wilderness for you. Let me sort out the wilderness problem. You go that way. I'm going this way. Driven out by the Spirit, he was. Now, in capsule, that is going to be what we're going to see through the book of Mark. And what does he do? He faces Satan. He's there for 40 days, and we're thinking, oh, like the 40 years of the wilderness wanderings in Exodus. Yeah, all that's there. We won't touch on all that, but it's all there. Satan, he caused all the trouble in Genesis 3. He's the one who provoked and got this thing going against, let's defy the Lord, and in the garden, and then driven out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so Jesus says, now then, or the Spirit drives him out to, let's go and deal with this Satan character. Let him try to beat me. Let him try to overcome this man. And this man won't be beaten by Satan. Satan gets humbled. He gives him his best shots of deceitful desires and selfishness. And Jesus said, no, 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 no. Your time's over with your selfishness and your love of the wilderness and barrenness and death. No, no. I'm here to end it. I'm here to end the wilderness. You see it? Lovely. He resisted, and the wild animals were tamed. Can you see that lovely little detail? The wild animals, they're tamed. Around him, the wildness is gone. He did it once before in Daniel. Anyway, that's another story. But the wild animals are tamed. And that makes us think, but I'm like an animal. But there's a wild animal tamer. The divine wild animal. You're wild, foolish, wicked, chaotic heart. He can tame it. And you see the angels, they're not trying to stop him with flaming swords. They're serving him. This Lord who goes into the wilderness fixes the wilderness. The animals are tamed. The angels love him. They're all around him. Heaven and earth is coming into alignment around him. Satan can't get his way. Selfishness is defeated. Satan is resisted. What a beginning. What a beginning to this Gospel of Mark. The beginning of the good news of Jesus. Wow. What a beginning. Do you feel the wilderness? Do you know what it is to be wild and broken with darkness within, to have chaos in you? I do. I know what that's like. Do you know the shadow of the valley of death, that wilderness feeling that death is the master and that we fear it? We fear the death and decay, dryness of soul, decay of heart and mind. Mark is telling us the story of Jesus to say, yeah, face up to the wilderness, own it, acknowledge it, confess it, but don't be overwhelmed by it. Turn to Jesus. He's the one who will go into that wilderness and tame it. He will get to the root of the problem to wash you, forgive you, teach you how to live as he lives. All of that's going to lie ahead of us as we go through this biography of Jesus that Mark has written. It's the story of bringing us out of the wilderness and into harmony with the living God. Out of exile, into family. The family of God, which is church. Life of the Spirit, not death in the wilderness. The Bible says we went from Eden to wilderness. And Jesus says, let me have the wilderness and you have my Eden. This very morning, whatever, wherever we are, let's all do that. Let us join Jesus in the waters of repentance. Let him deal with the wilderness and let us receive from him life, love, logic, eternal belonging, identity, a new beginning. So therefore, to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be ascribed all the praise, all the glory, all the majesty, all the honour, now and forever. Amen.